Reading this morning from texts 14 through 16 of chapter 12, canto 1. The subject of the storyline is Maharishi Parikshit has just been born. There's been a lot of discussion about the role of astrological influences on the life of conditioned soul, astrological influences found with a perfected soul, astrological configuration with appearances of the forms of the Lord, discussion about samskaras, and their role in bringing auspiciousness to the child, which then brings auspicious constellations at the time of birth, the qualifications of brahmanas to make all those things happen, the absence of qualified brahmanas in this age of Kali, and so the Pancharatrika system is required, and the Pancharatrika system is not for material purposes, but exclusively for spiritual upliftment. And we heard about Kripacharya, biographical information about him. Because he and Domya were assisting in the Jata Karma. So this morning there's some more about samskaras, and particularly the Jata Samskara. And then it begins the prediction of the priests, what kind of child Maharishi Parikshit will be. What kind of king, kind of person, based on his horoscope. So text 14 describes what gifts were given to the brahmanas at the time of Maharishi Parikshit's birth. It's pretty fantastic. Gold, cows, land, villages, elephants, horses, and good food grains. I don't know what a Brahmin's going to do with a village, with an elephant, and doesn't say what they do with these things. In many cases, the brahmanas would receive things and then distribute them. That's described with Prithu Maharaj. When he became king, he gave all this kingdom to the brahmanas, and the brahmanas then gave it back to the king. So it was theirs, and then they could understand, the king could understand, I'm just ruling on their behalf. Like the manager, and they're the proprietor. But the brahmanas are devoid of the sense of proprietorship, because they understand everything to be the property of the Lord. So that detached ownership is good. So I would imagine when they receive villages, what are you going to do with a village? Put a village in your pocket. Invest some money with a banker. Do you want to buy this village from me? They didn't engage in Vaishya activity. It was for giving direction to the persons who were living there. That sense. And Prabhupada makes, this is mainly cultural information. All the sangskaras, it's one requires a brahmana to perform the sangskara in the Vedic system, and they had qualified brahmanas in the form of Kripacharya and Domya, so they followed the Vedic system. The brahmanas are to be rewarded. Rewarded in one sense, but it's not like a payoff. It's a cultural item where, because of their qualification, they should simply be engaged in those elevating activities for the elevation of society, and therefore they are to be maintained so they don't have any, they don't have to even think about the necessities of the body, their maintenance. They're maintained by qualified people, especially kings. But when there's corruption, then the king buys off the brahmanas, so the brahmins are on their side, and the brahmanas keep shut, you know, keep quiet, because they don't want to lose their bakshish. So then they're disqualified. The brahmanas should be detached, even though they're receiving something. Like, nice example of this, Prabhupada would refer to as Chanakya Pandit. When the king received some advice from Chanakya Pandit that he didn't like, you know, he waffled. Well, I don't know if we should. So Chanakya Pandit's position was, well, if that's how you feel, fine with me. Maybe I should just make my residence elsewhere. It wasn't like I'm going to go on strike until you cooperate with me. It was just detachment. And the king understood, well, I'm going to lose a very valuable asset here, so yes, I'll follow. So, brahminical detachment is as important as maintaining the brahmanas. Brahmanas should not be bought by maintenance. Is the idea? They should be detached. Prabhupada's comment is that of the various sangskaras, especially important are three: birth, death, and marriage, where profuse reward should go to the brahmanas. And the comment is that the king, that's Maharaj Yudhisthira, he knew what to give, to whom to give, when to give, and so the when to give is at this jata karma. And Prabhupada gets really graphically specific. He calls the umbilical cord the pipe, the navel pipe. So the essential idea of samskaras is the soul is transmigrating, and there are some very critical points where the soul, its means of maintenance, the body of this, of that embodied soul, its means of sustenance changes. So conception, while within the womb, this jata karma is when the umbilical cord is cut. So the significance is, when connected with the umbilical cord, the child in the womb of the mother is part and parcel of the mother. Although there's another living entity within, the developing the body of that child, they're symbiotically of practically the same body. But when the umbilical cord is cut, that signifies a transition from full dependence upon the mother to independence, a degree of independence from the mother. Just like the grain ceremony, also from the milk of the mother to now taking food supply from outside of the mother's milk. So another Anaprashna ceremony. So when that point of the umbilical cord is cut, that's birth, jata karma, then this this is the where the purificatory process is to be performed, the mantras are to be chanted, the horoscope is to be given, and based upon the horoscope, the name is to be given. Prabhupada writes, the administrative demigods and the past forefathers of the family come to see a newly born child. And such an occasion is specifically accepted as the proper time for distributing wealth to the right persons productively for the spiritual advancement of society. So, the verse Prabhupada is amplifying that Maharaj Yudhisthira knew when, and he knew to whom, and he knew what should be given in charity. And the purpose behind emphasis, purpose is for spiritual elevation. Often people make these arrangements for samskaras to be performed because they want auspiciousness to go to their child so the child will prosper. And when the child prospers, they prosper, and so calculation is material prosperity. Piety for the purpose of material prosperity. And Prabhupada is making it clear, not for material prosperity, for spiritual advancement of society. And again, he writes that in Shastra, charity was offered to persons who deserve accepting charity by dint of their spiritual enlightenment. So, the qualified persons are the spiritually enlightened persons. And the spiritually enlightened persons are to be given charity because they can then focus on their spiritual enlightenment activity and don't have to worry about maintenance. One devotee was, Krishna Kripa, was describing to me that unfortunately when Sataputta was alive, there were demands from his family for material sustenance such that he had to have some additional job and couldn't give his full devoted time and energy to his brilliant work. So a qualified brahmana should be able to live in a simple manner, and a qualified brahmana should be amply supplied so that the great wealth that they can, spiritual wealth that they can provide for society, isn't distracted by earning material wealth. That's the idea. Prabhupada comments that in the verse, the word tirtavit is significant. Maharaj Yudhisthira is described as tirta vit. Tirtha is a holy place. And vit, or vid, means to know. So he knew the qualifications of the person who is like a tirtha. That expression is presented in the next chapter, chapter 13, in connection with Vidura returning to the royal palace. When Vidura returns, Yudhisthira honors him as a perambulatory tirtha, a moving tirtha. As good as wherever you go, you make that place a place of pilgrimage. Because you yourself are a place of pilgrimage. Because you're carrying the personality of Godhead within your heart. So, tirtha vit. Those who understand what a qualified person is, and then in turn, how to honor the qualified person. Prabhupada takes a direct shot at the distorted idea brought forth by unqualified people, that Daridra Narayan idea. So Brahmanas are often thought of as being poor, but their position of being poor is rather a description of their wish to keep things simple. And in that sense, they're poor because they receive something and then they give it away in charity. They don't accumulate. One who accumulates, that's a symptom of one who's not a Brahmana. One who is a Brahmana doesn't accumulate. So if they receive something beyond what they need, they distribute it. So the qualified Brahmana is apparently poor or simple living, and that's their qualification because of their spiritual enlightenment. But the other notion, the Dridra Narayan, that is the poverty-stricken poor people, some notion that says they are Narayan and you should give charity to Narayan by giving to the charity to the poor. Dridra Narayan. Prabhupada definitely didn't like that idea. God is poor. God is Bhagavan. Isn't that poor? It's just a concoction. And many people like that concoction. It's not scripturally reasonable. And then Prabhupada makes a point, supposing there is somebody who by their karma is a poor, wretched man, if they receive gold and villages and horses and elephants, what are they going to do? They won't have a clue what to do with horses and elephants and villages. But those who are qualified personalities, Brahmanas, they'll understand right away what to do. I mean, they're not going to, again, they're not going to think, oh, now I really made it, I own some villages. Their mentality is not a Vaishya mentality. Their mentality is, then this village can be guided in the proper way by spiritual principle. Like that. So the next verse, text 15, the learned Brahmanas, who are very satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him, that's Maharaj Yudhisthira. They were very pleased with Maharaj Yudhisthira, the king, and they addressed him as the chief amongst the Purus, and informed him that his son, of course it's his grandson, was certainly in the line of descent from the Purus. So, Puru is one of the ancestors in the line of, in which Maharaj Yudhisthira is in the line, in the descent, line of descent. Puru was a great king. Maharaj Yudhisthira was a great king, and this child will be a great king. That's the idea. And then their first appreciation, looking at the horoscope of the child, they said, this spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. Of course, that they knew historically, but of course they could see from the horoscope the same thing. Prabhupada explains that what they've just said is that there are two reasons why personality of Godhead protected Maharaj Parikshit. One, he was a pure devotee. And he was a spotless personality. This act was an act of gross injustice, and so he protected him. And the second reason was because of the virtue of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Because a descendant of this virtuous Maharaj Yudhisthira was at risk, he was protected. Meaning, if one becomes a very qualified person, Krishna protects those who are related to that qualified person. And then Prabhupada adds another point, and that is, Krishna wanted that the line of kings of quality would continue to rule. That's just as much as he wanted Maharaj Yudhisthira to rule instead of Duryodhan. Krishna wanted that Maharaj Parikshit would survive so that he could rule. He wanted qualified persons in the position of leadership. And so he protected him. And he protected him from something that was, the language of the verse is supernatural. Meaning, nothing ordinary could check it. And even Krishna made it so that something ordinary couldn't check it. And then he checked it. Because Krishna himself is not ordinary. Krishna protected. He created something that was irresistible or unstoppable by anything material, and he stopped it. Then Prabhupada also points out that in the verse, Vishnu na, the all-pervasive Vishnu, Prabhavishnu na. Krishna is referred to as Vishnu. He makes the point that when Krishna does things like appearing to stop the Brahmastra, or when he's fighting demons, this is Vishnu, that portion of Krishna that fights demons is Krishna, it is Vishnu. So directly, it's the reference is Vishnu. Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. And Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Krishna. So we can say, Krishna protected Maharaj Parikshit, or Krishna killed the demon. Technically, it's Vishnu protected. Vishnu killed the demon. And then he makes the point from the verse that the child is referred to as Shukla or Shukle unto the pure. So he's spotlessly white. Shukla. And that's the position of unalloyed pure devotee. So what's an unalloyed pure devotee doing, taking birth? But when you become an unalloyed pure devotee, purna janma nividyate, you don't have to go through that. And look at, he took birth, and even before he took birth, his life was threatened. So, Prabhupada explains that Krishna has a desire. He has a desire that conditioned souls return to him. And so to assist him in that mission of conditioned souls returning to him, he will dispatch pure souls, pure devotees to the Lord, to take birth. As preparers of, he's writing, by preparing transcendental literature like the Vedas, by sending missionaries and saints and sages and by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. Such transcendental literatures, missionaries, and representatives of the Lord are shukle, or shukla, spotlessly white, because the contamination of material qualities cannot even touch them. They're always protected by the Lord, and they are threatened with annihilation. Now that doesn't mean that such personalities don't die. Such personalities also are subject to being withdrawn, just as the Kuru dynasty. The Yadu dynasty was withdrawn by Krishna's own arrangement. But when something like that happens, the departure of a great soul is some arrangement of Krishna directly. Like in Prabhupada's life and how he left this world. It is very interesting. Transcendental. Prabhupada is placing his life fully in Krishna's hands. And was completely detached whether he would stay or go. Our own body was in tremendous pain. A little bit like that with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Cancer, it is said, is extremely painful. He was just laughing, joking. He was still in pain, but just transcendental to the pain. But ready to go when Krishna wanted him to go. So then Prabhupada repeats at the end of the purport here, the rescuing of Maharaj Parikshit was done for two reasons. He was a pure devotee, a bona fide pure devotee. So Krishna saved and protected him. And the other was Maharaj Yudhisthira, bona fide pure devotee, and Maharaj Parikshit was a descendant of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So, Maharaj Yudhisthira, because of his pure devotion to Krishna, Krishna was obliged to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And the desire of Maharaj Yudhisthira to have not just, he's my grandson, but the descendant of the whole descendancy was, he was the last member, as Prabhupada writes. There was no male member remaining to, again, produce a descendant, would have stopped the family dynasty. And so he was protected. In honor of Maharaj Parikshit, in honor of Maharaj Yudhisthira, as well as Maharaj Parikshit himself. A lot of cultural points here. Are you okay? Tired? Any questions? Discussion? Well, it's not by mental adjustment. by attachment of love. Prabhupada gives the example of when a house is on fire and the family members are in the house, the father of the family puts his life at risk to protect the members of the family. Even they may all burn. He can't, does everything that he can to try to save the members of the family from the burning house situation. Or the firefighter. Because it's not his family members, he's just courageous. That's his Kshatriya spirit, who wants to protect. So that's how you respond to a situation of danger. But when there's an attachment of love on a spiritual platform, that's how that happens. You're prepared to do whatever. Krishna gives some indication. You're prepared to do it. It's not, the calculation is not how this is going to make me happy. The calculation is, if something makes Krishna happy, you do. Prabhupada gives this example in Nectar Devotion of the principle of service points to Pradyumna, the son of Krishna, and Pradyumna's nature was that if he was not inclined to do something but Krishna wanted something done, he would do that something immediately, and vice versa. If he wanted to do something, Krishna didn't want that something, he immediately would drop it. So the relationship of father, a son to father, in a perfectly exemplified by Pradyumna and Krishna, is more the spirit of service than love. So where there's an attachment of love, one's prepared to do whatever. A blind attachment or, material attachment, then persons are prepared to do all kinds of harmful, crazy, foolish things in the name of their attachment or in the name of love. Something that's really hurtful for themselves and everybody else concerned because of blind attachment. But where the spiritual conception rules and the real interest of the soul and the real interest of Krishna become known, then when there's attachment and love, it's easy and it's beneficial in all circumstances. Even it may seem inconvenient, look like, whoa, it's difficult. Like the ordeals that Prabhupada went through because of the order of his spiritual master. Think about it. What his situation was before, and then when he came to live in the Lower East Side, what his situation was like then. An aristocratic gentleman who at one time was perhaps on his way to become one of the richest persons in the world, Prabhupada described like that. And Krishna took it all away and so forth. Now he's living in the Bowery. They're crazy people. Or living on the Upper West Side with not even a place to take a bath. Unthinkable. You know, in a cold winter in New York, living in an office with no bathroom, no shower, no bathing facility, no toilet facility. But, you know, what's the impetus to do something like that? It's just the attachment to the ego. Somehow this is the order of the spiritual masters. So transcendental attachment is how that can happen, and then there are things to do to come to that stage. You still with us? You're tired and ill as well. Your illness is getting to you? Okay. Anything else? See the full power?